We are spending moments with the Master as we look at various topics and chapters in the book of John. We probably won't be doing every verse in the book of John, but we looked in chapter 2 at the miracle at the Canaan of the wedding of Cana of Galilee, the first miracle that Jesus performed there. And then in the rest of that chapter was when Jesus went in the first Passover, cleansed the temple because they were making his house, instead of a house of prayer, it was a den of thieves. And then we come tonight to chapter 3, John chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. Not an unfamiliar passage to any of us, but I want to speak in verses 1 through 7 of the must of the new birth, the must of the new birth. In this passage, it's one of the best known in the New Testament. Jesus has a personal moment here with a man by the name of Nicodemus. And in this moment, Nicodemus was one of the most powerful. He's one of the most influential men in all of Israel during this time period. He's a wealthy man. He's a powerful man. He's an educated man. He is a religious man. And during this course of conversation here, Jesus refers to Nicodemus as a master of Israel. That title means teacher. Let's listen in on this conversation that Jesus is having with Nicodemus. Let's look at the must of the new birth. Notice in John chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Now there was a man of the Pharisees. You know who the Pharisees were. They were of the religious group of the day when Jesus was living 2,000 years ago. The Pharisees were the keepers of the law. They were religious. They knew the law. From front to back, cover to cover, they were steeped in the law and interpreting the law. And so now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. Notice a ruler of the Jews. Nicodemus here is a Pharisee. He's among this group. He's a ruler of the Jews. Now, verse 2 says, this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, and of course we know that word being teacher, we know that you have come from God as a teacher. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Down through the years, there's been lots of speculation. Why did Nicodemus come to Jesus at night? Was it for fear of being recognized among that religious group that was always seemingly trying to trap Jesus? A group that was always trying to create issues and problems for Jesus. Some think Nicodemus came by night because they speculate on the fact that he came by night in order to hide in the cloak of darkness, but others think he came by night because Jesus, being a very busy man that he was, and that Nicodemus, being a very busy man that he was, that Nicodemus came to Jesus at night so that he could spend more time with Jesus. Whatever the case may be, notice in verse 2, Nicodemus comes. Notice how that he speaks to Jesus. He uses this term, Rabbi. He says, we know that you have come from God as a teacher. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Notice Nicodemus, somewhere along the way, he has recognized that Jesus is no ordinary person. Jesus is no ordinary teacher. He realizes that he is from God, and that God's power and the greatness of Almighty God is with him. Then in verse 3, Jesus answered and said to Nicodemus, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, I've mentioned many times in passing that Jesus is the great cardiognosis. Cardio meaning heart. Jesus knows the heart. Who knows the heart better than Jesus does as you and I sit in church week after week? Jesus knows the heart before we ever enter into the sanctuary here. Jesus already knows the need within each heart of every person that enters these doors. Jesus knows who is sincere. Jesus knows whose heart is aching, whose heart is breaking, whose heart is a seeker, as the girls have sung for this evening. And as Jesus and Nicodemus on this particular night, in this particular setting, as they are having conversation with each other, Jesus answered and said to Nicodemus, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Notice that Jesus knew the intention of Nicodemus. Nicodemus is coming with real questions that beg for real answers. You know, sometimes in the world that you and I live in today, we have so many cynics out there in the world, so many critics out there in the world that people almost will not even give a response to a question. As someone said to me this past week, it's okay for you to have an opinion, but is it okay for someone else to have an opinion? Now, they weren't speaking of me, but they were speaking about in the culture of our day, we speak our opinions oftentimes long before we think, and we allow people to speak, but yet if their opinion does not match our opinion, then they don't have an opinion. Isn't it sad that in the day that we live in, that we cannot even have sincere discussions, sincere questions, sincere opinions? And notice Nicodemus, he comes to Jesus. Jesus already knew the situation long before Nicodemus ever came. God knew before Nicodemus was ever born that Nicodemus would come on this particular occasion, on this particular evening, to spend moments with the Master. When I think of those disciples, those 12 that he called, can you imagine the moments with the Master as they walked with him, as they talked with him? Jesus says to Nicodemus, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." You see, a lot of people have religion. A few weeks back, someone in the congregation on a Sunday morning, a couple of weeks ago, caught me as I was going down the hall, and this young man was speaking about things that I had mentioned in the sermon. You know, oftentimes we watch people sing, "I know this. I did that for 22 years. So can I realize that people usually are in touch and in tune with music. But as you get up to proclaim the message, you know, you wonder, does anybody really listen? Truly, I'll be honest with you. Confession from the pastor. I did not truly realize how many people really listen to what you say. I'm glad that I'm always on point, that because I realize that there are people that are not daydreaming. They truly are listening." And this young man was saying to me, he was being very complimentary about the sermon on that particular day. He was being very complimentary because obviously he listens in to a lot of other sermons out there and mega churches, and he was sharing some concerns about some of those, but he made the comment, this church is the real deal. And when I drove away from church on that day, I thought, Lord Jesus, let us always be the real deal, that others would see that we are seekers of the kingdom of heaven. I was warmly touched by what that young man said. Now notice in 3, Jesus said, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. There are lots of religious people in this world, but people don't need religion. People need redemption. People need regeneration. People need a relationship with the Lord Jesus. And just so happens, on that Sunday, that young man spoke to me and said, I truly understand now the difference between religion and a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Nicodemus, he's curious. Nicodemus has seen Jesus. He's not only heard about him, he's seen him. He realizes he performs miracles, that he obviously is a teacher from God, but that he could not in any way, form, or fashion perform such miracles and signs if he were not from God. Jesus already knows when Nicodemus comes on this night to sit in on this dialogue between these two people. Jesus already knows the intent of Nicodemus's heart. Jesus already knows the sincerity of the questions that Nicodemus brings to this moment with the Master. And then as Jesus answered him in verse 3, Nicodemus speaks to Jesus. Notice Nicodemus said to Jesus, how can a man be born when he's old? Notice Nicodemus did not understand everything here. How can a man be born when he's old? Nicodemus is thinking about the physical birth. He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? Notice how Nicodemus phrases this back to Jesus. Notice how Jesus responds back in verse 5. Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water, Jesus is speaking there about the physical birth. When the mother's water breaks and the baby is going to be born, Jesus is speaking about physical birth there. A lot of people would see that and assume it was speaking about baptism. It's speaking about the physical birth of the child. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water, and notice now the spiritual birth and the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Let me tell you, there's a lot of people in the world tonight that believe that they're going to be able to go to heaven just by all of the things that they've done, all of the good deeds that they've done in life. Let me tell you, if you heaped up all of the goodness of the good deeds that this world has done to help the poor, to feed the poor, to give to all various charitable causes, to the American Heart Association, the Cancer Society, to give to Samaritan's Purse, to Operation Christmas Child, to all the mission endeavors throughout the world today. All of the good things will not get you into the kingdom of God. You must be born again. You must be born again. Yet there are many people who think that they're going to heaven because in their religiosity of doing all good deeds and all of the things that they've been a part of, a lot of people assume that goodness will take you to heaven. Let me tell you, goodness will not get you and me to heaven, because the Bible says there's none that does good, no, not one. What was that verse all about? It means that all of our goodness in the sight of a holy God, all of our goodness is as filthy rags. Why do we do the good things that we do? Why are we involved in all of the mission endeavors throughout the world through the Southern Baptist Cooperative Program? Why do we do all of the home mission projects? The Baptist Children's Homes, State Missions, Lottie Moon, the Easter offering, the Mother's Day offering. Why do we do all of these things? All of the things that we do in our city, we do them to demonstrate Christ in our hearts and in our lives. Let me tell you, we demonstrate our behaviors through the things that we do for the Lord. Not that any of those things would ever take us into the kingdom of God. Jesus said there's only one way that you can get into the kingdom of God. You must be born again. Now, notice what verse number 6 says. Jesus is still speaking to Nicodemus. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. He's speaking about the physical. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And then Jesus says to Nicodemus, do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. Let me tell you, Nicodemus, his riches, Nicodemus's respectability in the community, he was highly, highly respected among men. His religiosity as being a Pharisee, a group who knew the law, a group who practiced the law. He kept the law. He was morally pure to the degree that even Jesus recognized the religious efforts of Nicodemus. He paid his tithes. He did everything the law said to do. He kept the written law and the traditions of the elders, and yet he did not have a personal walk with the Master. Let me tell you, for this world out there, for all of those out there that are preaching and teaching another way, Jesus said, there's one way. There's a way to go. We sing that old hymn, the way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. I must needs go home by the way of the cross. What is the way of the cross? The shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross for the remission of sins. Because the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. And all of those out there in the world that are misleading, misquoting, misrepresenting how we go to heaven, that's why Jesus said, the narrow road is the road that leads to life everlasting. It's the broad road. It's the world's road that leads to destruction out there. Jesus looked at Nicodemus in verse 7, do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. But I want you to notice, secondly, in verses 4 through 8, let me go ahead and read verse 8 here in a minute, and let's look at this mystery of the new birth. When Jesus says to Nicodemus he had to be born again, it messed with Nicodemus's mind. I mean, after all, Nicodemus couldn't grasp how this could be. He imagined himself going back into his mother's womb to be born a second time. So Nicodemus does not understand the mystery behind the new birth. Look in verse 8. Jesus said to Nicodemus, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it. Any of you been lying in bed on a winter's night or a spring night when a storm is brewing and the winds are blowing, and you can hear the wind blow. You can hear that. Notice he says the wind blows where it wishes and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it's going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Let me tell you, the Spirit of God, when the Spirit of God is moving throughout the earth, when the Spirit of God is blowing upon the human heart of an individual, that's why it's so important that a person, when the Holy Spirit is moving and bringing you to a place of conviction, that's when you need to grasp on to the Holy Spirit of God. Let me tell you, Jesus, God said in the book of Genesis, my spirit will not always strive with man. Someone asked the question, can you send away your day of grace? I believe that you can say no and no and no and no to the Holy Spirit. I believe that you can become so calloused and so hardened and so hard-hearted that the Spirit is knocking on your heart's door. And as long as you keep spurning the Holy Spirit, let me tell you, I believe there comes a point in time at which you have grieved the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit goes away. Let me tell you, you cannot be saved just whenever you want to. The Holy Spirit has to draw you. And notice what's happening here in this section. Let me tell you, this mystery of the new birth. Nicodemus was confused to some degree. He didn't understand Jesus is speaking about being born of the water and being born of the Spirit. Nicodemus is, even though he's astute, he's educated, he certainly would be among the intelligentsia of the day. His academia would certainly be in the forefront. He certainly understood the academicians of his day. He himself was a teacher. But yet he does not. It just goes to show you that smart people do not understand this great mystery of salvation. One of my life verses, and I've mentioned it many times, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. Let me tell you, there's a lot of things in life you and I will never understand. We may try, we may search for the meaning. We may get on search engines such as Chrome and Google, et cetera, et cetera, ad nauseum. But we can get on those things all we want to. But folks, let me tell you, he takes the simple things in life to confound the wise. And so here is Nicodemus. Jesus is comparing this to a birth. Physical birth provides life. Physical birth only happens once. You're only born once physically. The physical birth takes place because of the suffering of a mother who goes through the valley of the shadow of death to give birth to a child, and many mothers have died in childbirth. Physical birth gives that infant child a brand new start. And so Jesus uses an illustration. He was the greatest of illustrators of all time. Notice he compares this to the wind, to a breeze. He tells Nicodemus that just as the wind can be felt, and you can measure the effects of that, even though you can't tell where it's coming from or where it's going, it's mysterious. And he's saying to Nicodemus, the new birth is the same way. You cannot see God do his work in a heart, but you can see the effects. You can see the results of the new birth once it's happened. Let me tell you, there have been many a drunkard that's laid the bottle down, and you can see the results of a new birth. Let me tell you, you can see the results of a new birth of a woman out there who has given herself over to prostitution, and she's born again. And she comes out of that lifestyle, or the drug addict who lays the drugs down because of the new birth. You can see the effects. That's what Jesus was saying to Nicodemus here. The wind blows where it listeth. You can see the effects. You know it's there. But you don't understand the mystery behind all of that. And he compares that to the Spirit coming and moving. And then notice, lastly, in verses 9 through 15, the means of the new birth, the role of the Savior, the role of the sinner here. Nicodemus said to Jesus, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not understand these things?" Truly, truly, notice three times Jesus says that. When he says that, you need to listen. "I say to you, we speak of what we know and testify of what we've seen, and you do not accept our testimony. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes will in him have eternal life. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes will in him have eternal life." Do you remember the story back over in the Old Testament in the book of Deuteronomy? Do you remember the story where the children of Israel, they're out in the wilderness and, you know, they're murmuring, they're complaining, they're not happy campers. Would to God we had died back in the land of Egypt where they had been in bondage for 400 plus years. Taskmasters for the Pharaohs. And the people began to murmur and complain. If you will remember, God sent some snakes. How many of you are snake handlers? I don't see one hand go up tonight. I want to make sure you're awake out there. Let me tell you, God sent some snakes. Those serpents began to bite the people. And many people were dying, and the people were crying out to Moses. And Moses cried out to God to intercede for the people. And God told him to raise up this staff. And everyone who looked to that staff would be saved from those serpents' bites. And Jesus tells Nicodemus there in verse 14, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, there was that staff, that serpent. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Jesus was saying to Nicodemus that Jesus would be lifted up on a cross. And those who looked to the cross through faith, through the shed blood of Christ, would be saved. Notice in verse 16, please say that with me. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Then in verse 17, Jesus said, "For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him." Verse 18, Jesus says, "He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Notice in verse 18, Jesus says, "He who believes in him is not judged." Once again, as I mentioned this morning, that's one of the mercies of God that Paul was appealing to the Roman Christians, that we're not under God's wrath once we receive Christ, that we are not judged according to our sins because they're covered under the blood. But what we will give an accounting of is all of the works that we do in this life. If we've done them for the right reasons, the right motivation, the right attitude, not look at me and what I've given, what I've done, but because we did it out of love for Jesus, as seekers of the heart, we are giving back to his kingdom's work. And then notice what Jesus said in verse 19. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. Think about that tonight, where we are worldwide. Think about that when Jesus said, this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world. Jesus is the light of the world. And men loved the darkness rather than the light. Why? For their deeds were evil. Let me tell you, the world tonight is a very darkened place, isn't it? It's filled with evil. It's filled with evil hearts. Jesus goes on and says to Nicodemus in verse 20, for everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. Do y'all remember the studies in the book of Revelation? Do you remember in the book of Revelation during the tribulation when they will curse the God of heaven? They'll pray for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them. Instead of turning to the light, what do? They love the darkness of this world more than they love the light. Jesus said to Nicodemus in verse 21, but he who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. Let me tell you, the question tonight is, did Nicodemus, did he reach out and receive Jesus as the Savior of the world? I believe he did. We're not told that here. But if you'll remember, on the evening of the crucifixion, let me tell you, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea went for the body of Jesus to bury him, to care for him in those moments. Now, whenever you look at John chapter 3, verses 1 through 15, 1 through 21, isn't it amazing how that Jesus took all the time, obviously from a day well spent? Jesus, I'm sure, in the physical, I'm sure that Jesus was somewhat tired, but yet he took time for Nicodemus, and that moment with the Master made all of the difference in the world, in the life of Nicodemus. Jesus said to Nicodemus, if you want to go to heaven, Jesus says, you must be born again. You've got to be born again. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Let me tell you, the world tonight is rocking and reeling. It's searching, it's seeking, it's looking for peace, satisfaction, and contentment. But because the world loves darkness rather than light, the world will continue on its course just as God has his plan for this world. But I want you to know, if you want to go to heaven, there's no other way than the cross of the Lord Jesus, just like the staff that Moses held up with the serpent in the wilderness. That staff represented salvation for those that were being bitten by those deadly, poisonous snakes. And as they begin to look to that staff, which would represent their salvation, you and I are looking back 2,000 years ago to the cross of Jesus, just as Moses, verse 14, lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Let me tell you, for those that want to be saved, they can be saved when the Holy Spirit moves within their hearts and brings them to a place of conviction and repentance and conversion. What a moment with the Master as Nicodemus sat with Jesus. I close with this. The Greek historian Herodotus said that the ancient Egyptians believed in the new birth. They believed that when a person died, they became whatever animal happened to have been born at the same time. And then they went from that animal to another animal life, and then to another animal's life, until they had gone through all of the animals of the animal kingdom. And then the Egyptians believed that you could be born again, and that's what they called it, born again, as a human being. And they believed the process would take 3,000 years. Really, they believed in reincarnation, and they believed in a lie. Can you imagine believing that you just become an animal, and after that another animal, and you just keep on for 3,000 years? You know, it amazes me. It truly shocks my imagination to believe that there are people in the world that can believe all of that stuff. It takes less faith to believe what I believe than it would to believe all of that. Can you imagine tonight if you had no hope of the future? I mean, that you didn't know if you were going to eventually get to God. Can you only imagine what kind of life that would be? What kind of existence that would be? Many religions out there in the world, they don't have any assurance whatsoever. Well, I've got news for them. They have no assurance at all, because if you don't have the blessed assurance of Jesus and being born again, you have no assurance at all. Aren't you grateful? Aren't you thankful for what Jesus did 2,000 years ago to make it possible that you and I would have eternal life? Talk about moments with the Master. The time is coming when you and I, for all eternity, will have moments with the Master. What a day, what a glorious day that will be. Amen. Would you stand as we pray together? I think all of us tonight are just home folks. We're not going to have an invitation. We're just going to pray, and you turn around and tell somebody you're grateful they came this evening, and see you back on Wednesday night as we look at program number 3, and I want to get through our study on the apologetics in the next couple of weeks or so I can move into a new study. But God bless you for being here this evening. Would you bow with me as we pray? Father, bless each one. Take us home safely tonight. Return us back on Wednesday night, I pray, in Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here tonight.